In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, on this Sunday of the blind man. And today's gospel really is an image for us of this spiritual state of blindness that we're really all in, and to some extent, and how our spiritual eyes can be opened with Christ's help. The blind man first is healed of his physical blindness, but then a little later he is also healed of his spiritual blindness and has been given the blessing of discernment. I wanted to just read a portion of a prayer that is read every week right before we read the gospel. The priest has to say this prayer, and listen to this. Shine forth within our hearts the incorruptible light of thy knowledge, O Master, lover of mankind, and open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of the preaching of thy gospel. So in other words, it's a recognition that we are in this state of spiritual blindness, that we don't necessarily see everything. That is to say, we don't necessarily understand everything as we should. Well, there are two prayers from both the Vespers and Matins service that also describe this. The first one from Vespers was, Christ our God, Son of Righteousness, beyond all understanding, O thou who in touching him didst open the eyes of the man born blind, open the eyes of our souls and make us children of light. So there's that recognition again of our own spiritual blindness. And then the second one is really the Kantakion we just sang this morning, which also is sung at Matins. I come to thee, O Christ, the eyes of my soul blind as the eyes of the man born blind. And in repentance I cry to thee, thou art the light of supreme brightness for all those who are in darkness. So in other words, we must first acknowledge that the eyes of our soul are in need of healing of their blindness, and then we must come to Christ in repentance and recognize him as the light of for all of us who are yet in darkness. Well, this is one of the consequences of the fall from paradise. You know, before Adam and Eve's disobedience to God's commandment, They saw, you know, the paradisal state. They conversed with angels and they conversed with God. You know, they had that paradisal vision because they were in harmony and communion with God, being in obedience. And this is the same paradisal state that is talked about, which was before the fall. So when we read about the lives of, we have these icons of these saints all in our church here, and when we read about their life, what we find is that they themselves were able to achieve the same paradisal state, so much so that even wild animals were tame around them, or they could work miracles, or things like, or they were seen in uncreated light, or things like this. St. Nikolai Vlimirovich, in his book, The Faith of the Saints, goes through the Beatitudes at one point, and I want to focus on what he says on the fifth Beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay? So that's the requirement if we're going to see God, if we're going to have our spiritual eyes open. And St. Nikolai says that the human heart is the real eye for seeing spiritual realities. In the first place is God. By long exercise and by God's grace, the heart may be purified from all sinful impurities, as the lives of the saints testify. Evil thoughts and desires make a heart impure and blind. And again, there's another book called The Ladder of Divine Ascent that we focus on during Great Lent. But St. John Climacus, the author, devotes an entire chapter, which is step number 26, on the virtue of discernment. And this idea of discernment, of course, is when our spiritual blindness is healed and we're able to discern spiritual things. And he opens the chapter with a couple of lines here. Among beginners, discernment is real self-knowledge. Among those midway along the road to perfection, it is a spiritual capacity to discern unfailingly between what is truly good and what in nature is opposed to the good. Among the perfect, it is a knowledge resulting from divine illumination, which with its lamp can light up what is dark in others. And of course, we see that in the holy elders. You know, can read about their lives, like Elder Paisios of Mount Athos, for example. You know, was certainly among the perfect, we could say, because he had this grace and such that people would go to him with all their problems and concerns, and they would really be able to get help because he could discern what they needed in their life. In today's gospel, the blind man demonstrated three very exemplary qualities that are worthy of our imitation, and that would be prayer, obedience, and being a courageous witness for Christ. The blind man begging for alms is really like an image of prayer for us. He couldn't see his benefactor, and yet he remained persistent in asking for his help. Had he not been steadfast in asking for help, he might never have received healing. And we often resemble the blind man in this sense, in that we come to church to pray, and yet we do not necessarily see God with our earthly eyes. Nevertheless, God wants us to learn patience and perseverance. The Holy Fathers tell us that sometimes God waits a while before answering our prayer in order to strengthen us and help us achieve more patience. You know, in other words, if everything was easy all the time and God just gave us whatever we want, whenever we wanted it, we probably would become very lazy and spoiled instead of becoming spiritually mature and acquiring the virtues. So it wouldn't really be to our benefit if God did that for us. The second thing the blind man provides is this example of obedience. When the Lord, you know, get the image of this. Here's this beggar, he can't see anything, and all he can do is ask for alms. And all of a sudden, this guy comes and spits on the ground, makes a paste and smears it all over his eyes, which is all messy and everything, and tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. But it's amazing because the blind man doesn't argue with him. He doesn't make excuses. He just trusts in the Lord and does what he tells him to do. I looked it up, and the blind man was somewhere around the temple, because right before this, Jesus was in the temple disputing with the Pharisees. And then basically when he came out, he saw this blind man. So it's pretty much near the temple somewhere. Well, the pool of Siloam is approximately a half a mile from the temple of Jerusalem in those times. So that would be, I don't know if anyone knows where Brayan Springs Park is over here. It's where we did the Blessing of the Waters. But that's about a half a mile. If you just walk straight over there, so that's one thing, no big deal. Most of us could walk a half a mile. But if you're blind and you have to stumble along and it's a crowded street and all this, you know, it's not so easy. But in addition, he must have looked very foolish with all this mud smeared all over his face. You know, and probably some people made fun of him as he walked along and things like this. Well, by the same token, sometimes we as Christians know that we have to do the right thing, but it's not always very easy. You know, it's a struggle. Maybe others around us don't share our values and beliefs, or maybe they even scorn us when we try to uphold our Christian faith. You know, maybe we're not always perfect, and maybe we might even appear clumsy in our attempts to follow Christ's commandments at all times. But it's the sincere effort that God sees, and he is pleased with us when we try to obey his commandments, and then he'll help heal us. Well, then, about the business of the witness, later when the Pharisees question the blind man and try to deny his miraculous healing, the blind man suddenly becomes a bold witness and asks the Pharisees, do they want to be Christ's disciples? And he proclaims that if Jesus were a sinner, he could not have healed him. And now he becomes this bold witness for Christ, willing to sacrifice for his benefactor. You know, he doesn't care if he gets kicked out of the synagogue or if they don't like him or if they give him a hard time. Well, we too are called to be witnesses for Christ. But the most effective witness isn't necessarily to stand on a street corner and yell at people as they walk by and wave, you know, shake our Bible at them necessarily. But it's really when we practice our faith and when we acquire the grace of the Holy Spirit, then we can begin to discern the spiritual realities. And when our lamp is lit, others can benefit by our example. It's like St. Simeon the New Theologian says that just as a lampada or a candle it has a wick, that's fine and dandy, but it's dark until it is lit by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Then it can give light out, and that's how we have to be. We come to church, we get our lamps lit, as it were, of our souls, and we acquire some grace, and then we can go forth, and actually then we could be of benefit to others. And again, it's not so much even what we say or anything like that, it's just people kind of feel it, you know, because it affects their souls. And it actually helps them, because then they can see someone who has this grace, and deep down, everybody knows they need that grace, and this is where they can receive it, right here in the church. So brothers and sisters, let us ask God's help to be persistent in prayer, and willing to be obedient to his commandments, and that he will help us to fulfill our calling by becoming living witnesses of the grace of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.